Welcome to the Power Academy podcast. Join a global community of believers who are switching on their faith.
So today I'm going to be teaching on how to hear the voice of God, how you can hear the voice of God. And we're going to be looking at some real practical things here. The first verse, or the key verse to this, if you like, is John 10, verse 27. So if you've got your Bibles, this is Power Academy. We teach straight from the Bible, praise God. So get your Bibles out. Some people use their iPhones, some people use their iPads, some people use their irons. But get your Bibles out, whatever you use for a Bible. Carly still has a paper Bible.
I need to electronic come into the 21st century.
I use an electronic Bible. John 10, 27 is our key verse. John 10, 27. You may say, why do I need to hear the voice of God? Or I can already hear the voice of God and things like that. This is very important to get the foundation right on this. And we're going to be looking at some key points to hearing God's voice. As a born-again believer, we should all desire to hear God's voice. You know, I believe God's constantly speaking to us. And, you know, a lot of people use this example. It's like radio signals or television signals or things like that, even Wi-Fi. I guess nowadays Wi-Fi is...
You know, when it first came out, we used to call it Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. Well, we saw it written out. We didn't know. Wi-Fi. Okay, Wi-Fi is, you know, it's everywhere, right? It's floating around, or cell signals. But you have to have a device to be able to pick up that signal. So, you know, right now there's Wi-Fi in this building. We wouldn't know that unless we, you know, didn't turn a computer on or an iPad on or something like that to receive that signal. So the point is when I heard someone preach this, this was, the idea of radio. They said radio waves, but I'm just realizing a lot of people...
Oh, you're bringing it up to date, are you?
A lot of people wouldn't even know radio waves, would they, nowadays? Like our kids, they don't... Radio and cassettes, they don't do all that. So imagine Wi-Fi. You need a device to tune in to actually... listen to that signal, so actually take advantage of that signal.
The signal's always out there, like, yeah, God is always speaking, but sometimes we aren't tuned into the right frequency to be able to hear what he's saying.
So we're going to be looking at today how God's speaking and how we can hear God's voice. And like I said, as born-again believers, it should be our desire to hear God's voice, because God wants to speak to us and tell us specific things about things. So John 10, 27, you've got that verse, I love this. This is Jesus speaking. This is John chapter 10, verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is powerful. If you're a born-again believer right now, then you are Jesus' sheep. He is the head shepherd, he's the shepherd, and you are his sheep. We are his sheep. And it's important to realize that Jesus promises us right here. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Simple as that. My sheep hear my voice. And one of the most important things we have to do to start with is confess and believe that we can hear God's voice.
Yep, I'm a sheep.
Come on, I'm a sheep. I hear God's voice.
That means I hear his voice.
And, you know, right now, wherever you're watching from, you need to confess this. Put this in YouTube, Facebook, say, I can hear God's voice. It's very important for you to confess this as we start this lesson. I can hear God's voice. Because what happens a lot of the time, and I fell for this trap, we go around saying, I've struggled to hear God's voice. Or, I wish I could hear God's voice clearer. Or, I can never seem to hear God's voice. Or, I'm not very good at hearing God's voice.
Usually it's over a particular instance.
Right.
So maybe it's a decision you're struggling to, you know, struggling to make, or a direction you're not sure which way to go. Or maybe it's something you're trying to receive a promise from God. You're trying to get breakthrough in, and I hear this a lot in healing ministry when people come to me and they say, I just can't hear God on this, you know. And that's one of the questions I often ask people: what is God saying to you about this?
And they say, I can't
hear
God.
If people have come to a place where they're stuck, we hear that phrase more often: I just can't hear God on this.
And that's a negative confession. And what's happening there is, even in the natural, when you say that, your natural mind and your natural, you know, the soul part of you is going to say, well, I just can't hear God's voice, and it will shut down that part of you to hear God's voice. It's very important to start this, to start confessing and believing you can hear God's voice. And this is the type of verse you do well writing this verse out. You just the first part of this verse, say, I can hear God's voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You can hear God's voice. If you're a born again believer today, if Jesus is your Lord, then you can hear his voice. Simple as that. And we're going to go through some practical ways, how God speaks, the ways that we can hear him more clearly and things like that. But we have to start this lesson by saying, you are his sheep, we are his sheep, and we can hear his voice. We can hear the voice of God. He's designed us this way, and we can hear God's voice. So that's so important. And really, hearing God's voice could be life and death.
It's a
big deal to hear God's voice on things. And like I said, God's always speaking, and it's so important that we hear. I remember one time I was driving down a highway here in Colorado, and I'm driving along my truck, and I'm just praying, and I'm just thanking the Lord. As I drove past, there's a hitchhiker by the side of the road, and he was like doing his, you know, hitchhiking, trying to get a ride. And usually I don't pick up hitchhikers, because I value my life.
Not always the safest thing to do.
But as I'm driving, I see him in the distance. The Holy Spirit starts speaking to me, and I just get this sense like, you need to stop and pick him up. You need to stop and pick him up. And I'm like, no, I'm in a rush. I've got an appointment to keep. I can't. And it gets stronger and stronger. I pass him by, and then I'm really hearing God strongly. We're going to look at different ways you can hear God's voice, but I'm starting to hear him really strong. Like, the Lord is like almost shouting at me, you turn around and pick him up. And I was like, yes, Lord. And part of me is thinking, now I look weird. I've already drove past him, now I'm going to turn around. And it was a divided highway, so I turned around, drove past him again. He saw me drive back down the street, then I turned around again and come back to pick him up. So now the hitchhiker's probably worried for his life.
Like, thinking, why is this guy stalking me?
So I pull over and I said, you need a ride? He said, yep. And he jumped in the cab and he said, and I took off again. And he said to me, he said, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm actually I work at a Bible school. At the time, I was working at a Bible college. I said, I work at a Bible college. He said, you're a Christian? I said, yeah. He started shaking his head. And I was like, oh no, how's this going to go? And he said, you know what? He said, I was just praying like 2 minutes before you stopped. And I said, God, if you're real, send someone to help me. So anyway, we drove for about 10 minutes together. And I dropped him off where he needed to go, maybe 20 minutes together. And on that way, I heard all about how he gave his life to the Lord when he was a child. He had fallen away from God, backslidden, totally against God, and had such a terrible time. Yeah. He was now in a terrible place. Anyway, I helped him some things. I taught him. He received the Lord again, like he recommitted his life to the Lord. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which he'd never had before, and he got his prayer language, and it was powerful. We had like 20 minutes or more together. It was awesome. And then when I stopped at the gas station to drop him off, he got out the truck, and he turned around and said to me, he said, I want you to know one thing. He said, you need to know this. He said, tonight was going to be my last night. I already had it planned. He said, I had it planned, he said. But so he said, I'll tell you what, he said, you've been a godsend, you've been a lifesaver.
Well,
he said, you've been a lifesaver. He was gonna end his life that night. And you know what? Because I heard God's voice. Now hopefully if I'd disobeyed and not heard God's voice, God may have sent someone else, but maybe there's no one else available. I'm telling you, hearing God's voice could be life and death. There's people out there that need us. This is last week's lesson we talked about, or last time we talked about the gifts of the Spirit and words of knowledge, words of wisdom, things like that. You need to hear God's voice to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
We need to hear God's voice for everyday life, for raising our kids, for relationships, for work, for our business, all the different things we do. But it can even be as important as life or death, someone else's life or even your life.
Yep.
You know, and this is, you know, I've heard that in times of disaster, a lot of people hear God's voice, like all of a sudden they feel like, I've got to get out of here, or I can't take that flight, or I've got to do this. And you know, they avoid disaster. And then people say, well, how comes these other people, you know, they didn't hear God's voice? Because they weren't tuned in.
Yep.
That's why it's so important to be tuned into God's voice, so we can hear God's voice clearly, praise God.
And you know, I think sometimes we miss God speaking to us because we don't recognize the voice as being God.
Right.
You know, it's very easy to dismiss, you know, like you were driving past and you had that urgency
like
on the inside of you, but it wasn't like an angel appearing in your, you know, in front of you. It wasn't like words written in the sky.
Right.
It was more subtle than that, but you know, you said it just wouldn't go away. And I think that's really important for people to recognize. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when God speaks to us, we can tell because it's like that urgency that just, it gets stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
And you paid attention to that, but you could have easily just dismissed it and moved on.
Oh yeah, that's the important thing we're going to look at today, is how to recognize God's voice. So we're going to look at some of the ways God speaks to us today. So the first way God speaks to us, the most important way we can hear God's voice, if you like, is by his word.
Yeah.
His word is the primary, his word is the authority, his word is the way we hear his voice the clearest. And God's word and him are one. I mean, Jesus became, John 1 says, Jesus, the word became flesh. Jesus was the word of God, is the word of God, that we know he's exalted his word above his name. That's because the word and God can't, his word can't be separated from him. It's like, it's Jesus is the word of God. So some people say, I love the word. Well, that's because you love Jesus. I love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you'll love the word. And you know, we'll do a lesson in the future about how to study the word and how to get the most out of the word and things like that. That's coming in the future. But for now, you need to know God's word is one of the clearest ways he'll speak to you, and it's the authority. You know, he's never going to speak outside of his word. He's never going to say something that contradicts the word of God.
Right.
He may say something outside of the word because it might be specific. Because in the word of God, it doesn't say, hey, Jimmy, don't work at this store, work in this store. Or hey, Susan, move to this town. It doesn't say that in the word. So, but he will never say something that contradicts his word. And we'll look at that in a minute. So the first way is his word. I love Proverbs 6. If you've got your Bibles, Proverbs 6, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 22. Talking about the word of God, talking about his word, says this. It says, when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. The Word of God will speak for you. The Word of God is like no other book. It's a living person. Like I said, it's the Word became flesh. That was Jesus. The Word of God is living. It's alive. It's active. It's living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm telling you, the Word of God is one of the clearest ways God will speak to you.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's been so many times in my life where the Word of God has spoken to me. So powerful, and I'm sure most of you have got testimonies that all of a sudden a verse jumps out of the page, or all of a sudden something really, a verse that you've read 100 times, all of a sudden now it comes alive. That's the Word speaking to you. And the thing is you have to read the Word to get it in you for it to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just, you know, not read the Word. I know some Christians now say, well, I don't read the Word, you know, I just listen to God. And actually, in fact, reading the Word is the most important thing you can do to hear God's voice. Because even the other ways, we're going to look at some other ways that God speaks to us, we need the Word of God as our foundation to hear His voice.
Right. And this is really important. You know, you just mentioned something there. We don't read the Scriptures like we read a novel. We don't read the Scriptures like we read, you know, any other book. When we read the Scriptures to get the most out of them, we need to invite the Holy Spirit to enable us to see the application in our life. Because, like you're saying, our name isn't... Some of our names are
In
the Scripture.
If your name's the Bible, that's pretty cool. Ours aren't.
Right.
Yours could be.
But you know, as you're reading something, you know, I was praying in tongues. And often I'll pray in tongues at the same time that I'm reading.
Yeah.
Because you can read the Word with your understanding, but you can have inspiration by the Holy Spirit as you're reading it. And ask the Holy Spirit, when you're reading the Word of God, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, where should I start reading? Sometimes, you know, this is actually a great exercise in learning to tune into that frequency. Mm-hmm. I'll ask the Lord, you know, which book should I start in? Is there a particular chapter, Lord, you want to reveal to me today? And you know, I'm just gonna go there. I'm just gonna start reading. And I'm like, Lord, show me, reveal this Word to me.
Come on.
Use the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He's gonna guide us into all truth.
Come on.
Right? So read the Word of God in conjunction with the power of the Holy Spirit. And not only are you gonna get more out of it, and you're gonna hear God apply the Word to you personally, rather than it just being words on a page. But He's gonna guide you in your reading as well. And you can use that as an opportunity to practice hearing the Word of God. Now, sometimes I have heard, you know, Leviticus, whatever, and it's been some obscure thing to do
with
mold.
You've got mold in your loins or something.
So, yeah. So sometimes, you know, we can tune in our hearing, but you can't do any harm reading a strange word in the Scripture, right?
I mean, I had mold in my robe once. Remember that?
Oh,
we used to have a hot tub. We still do, but our old house. And I'd obviously use this robe in the hot tub.
And it hadn't dried properly.
And it got left in the corner, and it never, and the hot tub chemicals or whatever, anyway.
That's beautiful.
I think I've mould in my robe. Anyway, I don't use it.
It's better than mould in your loins.
Mould in your loins. So if you're reading this obscure verse, like Carly's saying, but you know what? You need to read the Word, and then you get the Word in you. So the first way God speaks to us is through His Word. The second way God speaks to us is by an audible voice.
Yeah.
God can speak to us through an audible voice. Now, when I was 16 years old, I didn't know the Lord. I was actually rebellious. My mum had become a Christian before me.
You were rebellious?
I was rebellious.
Shocked.
About a year before me or so, my mum gave her life to the Lord, and then my sister did, and then I was rebellious. I was like, don't tell me about Jesus. And I'd rip the bumper stickers off the cars, and I was like, I don't want to know anything about Jesus. This is all made up. It's all fake. I don't believe any of it. And then one night, I got to thinking. I was laying in bed, and the Lord woke me up about 5 times in the night in my sleep, and it was an audible voice in my room. Now, I believe it was an audible voice because he couldn't speak to me spirit to spirit or through His Word because I wasn't even born in yet. But this audible voice filled my room. All it said was my name. It just said Ashley. And I can only describe it like it was a waterfall, like a synthesizer, like real strong. But I felt like I knew the power of it. I knew that it was calling me home. Just by saying my name, I knew it was calling me home. And that voice woke me up like 5 times. And incidentally, my mum was actually praying for me
at the
time.
This is like Samuel and Hannah.
Yeah. And my mum was praying for me at the time, and she said she was praying for me. She was reading in her Bible about Eli and Samuel, and about when Samuel used to come. Eli, did you call me? And Eli's like, no, it was the Lord calling you. Answer Him. And that's what happened to me. And then the next day, I realized God is real. And I gave my life to Jesus the next day.
You answered the
call. So I heard God's audible voice. It's the only time I've heard God's audible voice. I know some people have heard God's audible voice, some people haven't. Some people think if you've heard God's audible voice, then you must be special. Now, it's actually the reverse. If you heard God's audible voice, it's probably because you wasn't listening in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only way it could get to you, was like, hey, it's like audible voice.
So megaphone.
Megaphone. So God's audible voice. You know, there's 7 times recorded in the New Testament when God spoke from the heavens and spoke audibly to Jesus in New Testament. So we know this still happens. It happened twice. It happened when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. When he came out of the water, then the voice of God came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Believe him." And then also in the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus went up the Mount of Transfiguration with three of the disciples, then God's voice came out. This was like thunder, came out of the clouds and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And those instances are recorded in the New Testament. They're recorded seven times in the New Testament. I use one for each day because they're great confessions. You know, you can, as a born-again believer, you can confess that. You can say, "I am his beloved child, and he in me, he is well pleased." That's the truth about you. So God's audible voice can happen. It's rare, and we don't need it, okay? Let me say this. Mm-hmm. You don't need, if you think you're more special if you hear God's audible voice, we don't need it. We have a more sure voice. And even when God's audible voice was spoken, they said, "Oh, it could be thunder. It must be thunder. It must be." They made excuses. You had to type of have a certain amount of faith to even hear it then, even when it's an audible voice.
Yep.
So God can speak to us audibly. So we've got the Word of God, his audible voice. The next one I've got here is God can speak to us through people. Mm-hmm. God can speak to us through people. Mm-hmm. And the verse I've got here is Proverbs 27:6. This is a verse for me personally I like because I remember what we was in a situation and I needed an answer about something. And a friend of mine from out of town called me and he basically told me something that type of hurt me. And I was like, "This type of hurts. I don't like this." And then the issue we had, all of a sudden the Word of God, this scripture came to life for me. And God really showed me. He said, "I can speak to you through people very clearly." And the verse is Proverbs 27:6. It says, "Faithful the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." And right there, God showed me the answer I needed in this situation, this leadership problem I had. And God showed me exactly what the answer was through someone else contacting me, through someone else. God spoke through someone else using the Word of God. So that person who spoke to me had to have the Word, right? And they spoke to me through the Word of God. So people can speak to us, right? Through spiritual gifts, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecy,
Things
like that.
And you know, we have to test these. You know, you brought up a great point there through the different gifts. And I think we mentioned a little bit about this when we did our spiritual gifts class.
Right.
But when God is speaking to us through people or through spiritual gifts, we need to understand the character and nature of God. Actually mentioned this at the beginning. God is not gonna, he's gonna speak to us through his word, and what he says to us is it's never gonna contradict his word.
Right.
So when God uses people, you know what, people are they have flesh.
That's right.
Okay.
We are a spirit, but we possess a soul and we live in a body, so we can still miss it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, God flowing through people, you know, sometimes people take a word from God and they make a paragraph out of it.
Right.
They just want to help God out a little bit, right? Elaborate a little.
I've done that. God's given me a word. I was like, "That's not impressive enough. I need to add to it." And the word was just like, "Tell him this," and I've actually added to it.
Yeah, but one way that we can test on a real practical level whether that really is God speaking through a person, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you into all truth. That means the Holy Spirit might bring conviction. He might show you the error of your ways, but in love, so that he can lead you into all truth. But God's never going to bring condemnation. He's not going to bring shame. He's not going to bring guilt, shame, condemnation. He's not going to contravene his word. So take those words that you hear that sound like God speaking and match them up to the character and the nature of God. Does this sound like something God would say?
Right.
Does it match his MO?
Does it match his word? Yeah. Does it match God's word?
And the word's the benchmark for that.
That's right. And we're going to be looking at ways we can test God's word, test God's voice against the word and things like that, and actually what things we can do to actually position ourselves to hear God's voice more clearly. That's such a good point. People especially, you have to be careful because some people, maybe they've got your best interests at heart. And they say things to you like Peter had Jesus' best interest at heart, right? And Peter said to Jesus, "You don't have to go to the cross. You know, there's another way. Me and the lads have been talking. We can get you out of this. We can do something. We can get you out of this." And that was actually, you know, Peter wanted the best for Jesus, but that wasn't God.
Yep.
In fact, that was the devil told Peter to say that. It was a distraction. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jesus turned around and said, "Get behind me, Satan," and rebuked Peter. So some people might want your best, you know, might have your best interests at heart and they're trying to speak to you. Some people might just try and be manipulative, you know, trying to manipulate you or trying to get their own way. So you have to be careful. If someone says, "Thus saith the Lord, I have a word from you,"
I'm automatically suspicious when they say that.
That's right, always test it. Yeah, actually, the most powerful words I've had is a lot of the time they don't say to me, "Thus saith the Lord."
Right.
And sometimes, you know, sometimes when I speak to someone, I'll say something like, "Hey, I've been praying for you, and I just feel like this, or I just feel like God might be saying this, or I feel like this might be for you. And I make it very, you know, not like, thus saith the Lord, you must move to, you know, this town or this city. And some people do that, and they take it as, first of all, if a person speaks to you and you feel like it's God, it should be confirmation of something God's already type of stirring up in you anyway. It shouldn't just be completely out of
left field. Not a newsflash.
You know, if it's a completely new thought, if it's a completely new thing you haven't even thought of yet, and it's a new direction, then test that. Put that to one side and leave it there, and then maybe later on you'll realize, oh, 2 years ago someone told me about that.
Yep.
And you know, and test everything is an important thing. But people, so we're looking at how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word. He can speak to us audibly. He can speak to us through people. The next one I've got here is he can speak to us through circumstances. Now, this is an interesting one, through circumstances.
There's a lot of abuse about this
one. There's a
lot
of abuse. In fact, yeah. I used to think, well, everything's going wrong. I must be doing God's will because the devil's attacking me. And then some people will say things like, well, everything's going right. It must be the Lord. He's made a clear path for me. He's made the valleys high and the hills low, and it's a straight path for me.
You can twist circumstances or your interpretation of those circumstances to fit your theology.
You really can. And really, I think the circumstances is a fairly weak way of hearing God's voice. Yep. In fact, I would never rely on circumstances to hear God's voice, because just like I said, you could actually have bad circumstances when you're doing God's will, or good circumstances when you're not doing God's will, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Jesus promises we're going to have tribulations, we're going to have trials, there's going to be things, and often if you stand up for the Lord, if you stand up in faith, if you start believing the word and start believing God for healing, or start believing God for resources, or start believing God for something, you're going to have attacks, you're going to have difficulties.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think though that God uses circumstances to confirm his will for our life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not a horoscope, okay? I don't want us to get off on this, because sometimes people use circumstances like their horoscopes to you know, if it rains this afternoon, then that's a sign I shouldn't go for a walk.
Right.
You know, I shouldn't have a picnic. I mean, they start to get really out of balance with this, but in our life, when God has spoken to us through circumstances, it's always been a confirmation of his will.
Come on.
It's not a news flash. It's not, hey, this is the first time we've ever thought about that. But it's confirmation. So when I was, you know, God showed me for the first time that I could be healed of something, healed of epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
And God meets you in your place of faith. And I'm like, Lord, if this really is you speaking to me, then you know, and I kind of laid out a fleece, a little bit like Gideon. Now, I know that Gideon's Old Testament, but I think God is gracious enough to meet us in our place of faith. And I just said, Lord, if this really is you, then you know, have my friend, then I was going to a prayer meeting anyway, so it wasn't like completely off the chain,
right.
But you know, have my friend offer to pray for me. And God worked with my faith, and to me that was a confirmation that God really was speaking to me, and I was on the right track.
Right.
It was a confirmation. And you know, I was praying for a lady, seeing a lady in church one time, and I felt like God was saying to me to offer to pray for this lady.
Right.
But I was nervous, and so I'm like, Lord, if you really want me to pray for this person, then give me a confirmation, like have her turn around. And guess what? She turned around, her ears were open, she was instantly healed.
Amen. I remember
but
that.
It was a confirmation of God's will.
What he's already been saying.
Yeah, it wasn't direction, it was confirmation. I think that's important.
It is important. And I think, I want to be careful I say this, but I think as you mature more, like these were older stories.
These were older.
I was thinking myself, how many times have I let circumstances speak to me or heard God through circumstances? It seems to get less and less.
Yeah.
Because I think the more mature you
get. Same with the audible voice.
That's right. The more you mature you get in the Word of God and by His Spirit, He doesn't need to speak to you in those ways anymore. And what Carly was talking about is Gideon in Judges chapter 6. We won't go there, but in Judges chapter 6, there's a great story about how Gideon lays down the fleece, basically, the sheep fleeces. If it's wet and the grass is dry, then I know it's you. And then the next day, it's like, let's do it again, Lord. If it's dry and the grass is wet, and he's basically laying a fleece. And a lot of Christians now say, well, I'm going to lay a fleece about this. And I'm going to say, you know, Lord, if two black cats walk across my path and a bird says my name, I know it's you. And that's type of dangerous. I mean, if God leads you to say, you know, if this happens, this person speaks to you, you know, that's different. But don't make up a circumstance and say, if this happens, then it must be God. Now, you've got more sure ways of hearing from God. You've got the Word of God. You've got His Spirit. We're going to look at some other ways in a second. But there's more sure ways. Don't let circumstances sway you one way or the other.
Because the enemy can influence circumstances
too. And sometimes circumstances are circumstances. I remember I was a youth pastor, had very little money, and I parked outside the bank. I ran into the bank to deposit some money, ran back out again, had a parking ticket. I looked down the street one way or the other, no traffic wardens or police cops, what they call them here in America, police cops or no traffic cops anywhere to be seen. I was like, they must have jumped out of the bush and given me a ticket. And I couldn't, it was like hard to pay that ticket.
They jumped out of the bush.
So I used all my money to pay that ticket. Like a week later.
Commission.
I know, right? A week later, I pulled in the same thing, run into the bank, run back out again, ticket again. And I was like, Lord, I was a less mature Christian then. I was like, Lord, what does this mean? Double tickets, you know, like double rainbow. Yeah. What does it mean? I was like, what does it mean, Lord? You must be speaking to me. Am I in the wrong place? Am I doing something? What is it, Lord? You're speaking to me, obviously. And I prayed about it. I was like, Lord, what are you? This is so supernatural, if you like. Two things. What does it mean? And he said, it means you parked in the no parking zone. Like, it doesn't mean
anything. You broke
anything.
The rules,
it
so you got consequences.
Like, I was looking into it, trying to find some reason. I really felt the Lord speak to me and say, it didn't mean anything. Like, you're trying to look into something. So don't read into circumstances, good or bad. Don't read into circumstances too much to try and hear God's voice. I believe there's a lot more surer ways.
Yep.
And I don't believe God speaks to us through circumstances very much, especially as we mature. But it is one way we can hear God's voice through circumstances. The next one, this is the fifth one, I believe. Mm-hmm. The fifth one is dreams and visions. God can speak to us through dreams and visions. Yeah. We can hear God's voice through dreams and visions. We're talking today about how we can hear God's voice, the word of God, audibly, through people, through circumstances. Yeah. And this one is through dreams and visions. God can speak to us through dreams and dreams and visions. You know, it says in Joel, your old men will dream dreams and your mm-hmm. young men will see visions. And again, like I said, you can't trust dreams and visions. Could be too much cheese pizza.
Could be
over imagination.
And some people naturally find that they have more dreams and visions than other people, mm-hmm. According to the gifts that God has deposited on the inside of them. So.
Yeah. Some people, that's one of the ways God speaks to them more, through dreams mm-hmm. and visions. And, you know, God's spoken to me through dreams. I've woken up in the morning and think, that was God. That's like a God. I know God's spoken to you that way as well.
And yeah, and one thing, let me just say, when God speaks to me through a dream, it's always very vivid. And that's one way. It's not the same from me just, you know, just having regular goofy dreams. And I'm never thinking to myself, was that a God dream or was that a me dream? It's like there's an understanding,
you know,
there's a clarity on the inside. Like, and I'll wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, I need to write that down. I know that was God. Now, I might not understand everything that was in it, and I might need to pray in tongues some and get some revelation on what God was showing me, but I can identify because of the nature of it, the vividity of it.
Is that a word? Vividity?
It means it's very vivid. Yes, vividity of it. That I know it's from God, so there is a distinction.
That's right. And again, you know, it can be your own flesh, your own soul, that just bring, you know, your own imagination. It can be God. It can even be the enemy. The enemy can actually speak to us through dreams. I tell mm-hmm. people, if the enemy speaks to you or gives you a dream, you know, a bad dream about something, whatever that is, that's actually, for me, it's like a good sign that you're keeping your thought life while you're awake in check. If you're not allowing those negative thoughts in when you're, you know, during the day, then the only way the devil can get you is while you're asleep and your guard's down. So you can't trust it, dreams. It could be the enemy. It could be your own flesh. It could be God. So again, they should be confirmations. Don't just have one dream and then base your life on it. That's not good practice either. But God does speak to us through dreams and visions. Mm-hmm. I believe dreams are when we're asleep. I believe visions are when we're awake. You know, very simply, that's simplifying it a lot. But basically,
and there are lots of different types of visions.
There is different types. Maybe we need to teach on that. Different
Maybe,
types
yeah.
of visions, different ways we can see visions and stuff. But mm-hmm. the visions are basically when you're awake and it's almost like a daydream, or you see something in the spirit realm, or you see something in your third eye. That's how I see a vision. And then dreams are when you're asleep. So dreams and visions is the fifth way I've got here. The sixth way, the number six way you can hear God's voice, okay, and that is by your desires. God will speak to you by your desires. And this is very powerful. And this is one way that God's spoken to me a lot. I know he's spoken to you a lot as well. And that's Psalm 37, verse 4. If you've got your Bible, mm-hmm. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. I love this verse. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Yep.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. The key is here, delighting yourself in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You can't trust your desires if you're not delighting yourself in the Lord. If you're delighting yourself in late night, you know, binge-watching Netflix, or if you're delighting yourself in going out partying, if you're delighting yourself in carnal things,
mm-hmm.
you can't then trust your desires, because your desires will be for those carnal things. Your soul will go after those carnal things. But if you're desiring and your delight is in the word of the Lord, you're fellowshipping with God, you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're reading the word, you're just you're watching programs like this, you're a Power Academy student, you're doing things like this, and you're delighting yourself in the Lord, then when you have a desire for something, a lot of the time that's God.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a desire that you didn't have before, or it's an opposite desire that you've had before.
Yeah.
So when we moved here, you know, we moved to America in 2008, and I just got to tell you, I know we have some Brits watching, so I've got to be careful here, but I loved England. I mean, I loved Britain. I was a blighty, wasn't I?
And there was a time when you couldn't imagine yourself
myself ever leaving England. And we actually had opportunities. I've got my uncle at the time had a business in another country. I could have gone and worked for him. And we had opportunities to move out of England. And we travelled all over the place to different countries. Mm-hmm. But I never had the desire. I was like, I'm a blighty boy. I love Great Britain, Rule Britannia. And all that. I mean, I loved England.
So your heart was planted there.
My heart was in England. I could never imagine leaving England. I could never imagine myself living outside of Britain. And it's amazing. We moved to America. We actually only moved here for 1 year. We moved here for... for a 9 month course.
A year of college.
9 or 10 months. We rented our house out in England. We had no plans to live here permanently. We just did 1 year of college here.
We put all of our stuff in storage in England, all the kids' toys and everything.
Yeah, we just put it all in storage.
Winter clothes.
And moved here for 9 months. Nine or 10 months was the plan to move here. And that was in 2008. And after about 6 months of being here,
we realised.
I'm telling you, my heart changed. I flew to England for a trip and I was coming back from England. And when I landed in America, I was like, all of a sudden, I was like, I do not want to live in England anymore.
You felt like
my desire was to live in America. My desire had changed. And it's amazing how that can happen. And that's just something that how God speaks to you. I've had this with different things. When we left the ministry, we worked for a big ministry, Andrew Womack Ministries, and we'd worked there for 10 years. I'd been there for 10 years. And every day, I'd love going there. All of a sudden, my desires changed. And all of a sudden, I didn't want to be there anymore. And I spoke to Andrew about that. And he's like, that's God speaking to you. All of a sudden, I couldn't imagine myself going there. I didn't have the desire to go there anymore.
And I think this is really common because every time I look back at these situations in our life where we've made a major life change like that, our heart has always moved before our feet did.
That's good, Carly.
Okay?
Your heart will move before your feet
move. It will. And so make sure that your feet aren't running ahead of your heart.
Well, that's good.
Don't put the action before the heart's desire, because that's where your peace is at. Mm. This is really important, because otherwise you can miss the timing of God with your enthusiasm.
Come on.
And you can let your feet run ahead of the preparation and the timing and the peace, and you can try and force something to happen with action. Yeah. And then you'll find yourself frustrated, and you'll find yourself running into challenges, because it's not that you're doing, you know, it's not that you're going somewhere that the Lord hasn't led you, but you've missed the timing. So let your heart move before your feet do, and you'll avoid that.
That's a good word. That's a little bit like faith and action. It's actually faith first. You get the faith and then you take the action. The action doesn't produce the faith. And that's so true. And I know a lot of people, they'll run ahead of God. And my prayer is always to be hand in hand, walk hand in hand with God. You know, Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they agree? So I want to be agreeing with God, walking hand in hand. That's ideal. But if anything, I'd rather be slightly behind. At least then I'm not running ahead and I'm out there on my own. I'm taking
a walk.
I would rather be
out there on your own, just taking a walk.
That's right. So sometimes God will have to prod us a little bit, because naturally we're just like doers. If it smells like God, we're about it. Let's go and do it. Let's go and start this deal, do this, do that. And sometimes it's good to wait and listen to the Lord, and He will lead you with your desires. And if you delight yourself in the Lord, that means you're praying the Holy Ghost, reading the Word, keeping yourself, your thoughts on the Lord, you know, keeping your mind stayed on the Lord. Matthew 6:33, seeking him first, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, and things like that. If you delight yourself in the Lord, then your desires, in fact, when you get more mature in your walk, then I've heard people say this, I can just do whatever I want to do. Mm-hmm. I can do whatever I want to do, because they're so in tune with God.
Because
it's
what
like
you
they have godly desires.
Yeah,
they have godly desires. They only have godly desires. And, you know, I'm not fully there yet, because if I just did what I wanted to do, I would probably eat the whole thing of ice cream. And that's probably not the best thing to do. I would probably, you know, I'd probably go out.
Well, the word delight means soft and pliable.
Soft and pliable.
You'd definitely be soft and pliable.
Ice cream.
Those love handles would be expanding.
I'm delighting.
He'd be stretching out his tent pegs.
Stretching out my tent pegs.
Expanding to the right and the left.
The desires, my desire is to eat the whole tub of ice cream. And the Lord says, partake of it, he says. But anyway. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So I'm just saying, if you delight yourself in the Lord will speak to you through desires. You'll have a desire to do something. It's amazing when that happens. Uh-huh. And it's happened to us a lot, that where our desires have been for something or against something. And that's God speaking to us. And this also ties in with peace. You know, and this is one of the things we'll look at about how you can confirm God's word. So. Mm-hmm. Desires. The last one I've got here is spirit to spirit, or the still small voice, you could call it. Spirit to spirit. Mm-hmm. God's spirit and your spirit speaking. God's spirit speaking directly to your spirit. Okay? And let's look at this. This is in, I like this story. This is in 1 Kings 19. You've got your Bible. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. verse 11 here, and this is the story of Elijah, and I love this. This is Elijah, and he says, Elijah basically asked the Lord, can I see you? And verse 11, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but in 1 Kings 19, verse 11, this is what happens. He says, the Lord says to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks to pieces before the Lord, like a tornado. Broke the rocks, I mean, powerful, powerful wind. Okay, broke the rocks to pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. See, this was spectacular. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like a big spectacular hurricane or tornado. But the Lord wasn't in that. Okay? And then after the wind, an earthquake. So an earthquake, imagine the earthquake shook the earth. Things happened. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Okay? And then verse 12. And then after the earthquake, a fire. We're in 1 Kings 19. But after an earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. This sounds like a season in Colorado. We have wind and fires. Not lately, praise the Lord, but we've had plenty of fires here and things like that.
Extreme weather seasons.
That's extreme weather. Yeah. But the Lord was not in the fire. Ready for this? This is 1 Kings 19, verse 12. But after the fire, a still small voice. But after the fire, a still small voice. And verse 13 says, so it was, Elijah heard it. I'm telling you, God speaks to us in a still small voice. Sometimes we're looking for the spectacular. Sometimes we're looking for the you know, right in the sky, like you said. Sometimes we're looking for something for a third person to speak to us, you know, like God's voice being like, Ashley, do this, do that. You know what? Most of the time God speaks to us, it's going to be in a still small voice. It's going to be God's spirit and your spirit. God's spirit speaking directly to your spirit. It's a still small voice. It's very, very powerful when God speaks to us through a still small voice. It's amazing when we start to tune into this. The Word of God is where we need to be all the time. We need to be in the Word, praise God. That's how we judge the voice of God. That's how we know if it's God or not. That's how it's a foundation. We can keep it true. We know that's not a godly desire. I have a desire to, you know, whatever it is, I have a desire to rob a bank. No, that's not God's speaking to us, because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And the same with dreams and visions, and when people speak to us and things like that, we need the Word as that foundation, but we also need the Spirit to speak to us directly about things. You know, the Word of God is like a map. If you landed on a beach and there was mines, say, you know, like in the war times, in the First or Second World War, you land on a beach, they'd be full of mines. The map, okay, will tell you where the mines are. So you have a map to tell you where the mines are. That's like the Word of God. But then as you're walking through the beach, there's a voice behind you saying, turn left, turn right, stop there, go back two steps.
This is the way walk in it.
That's the Spirit. This is the way walk in it. That's a still small voice behind you. That's the Spirit telling you about specific things and bringing the Word of God to life. So I'm telling you, the most powerful way you can hear God's voice is through His Word and by His Spirit, Spirit to Spirit. Spirit to Spirit is so powerful. And there's some problems with that. And this is what we're going to look at real quickly. There's some problems with that. First thing is the problem is God's Spirit sounds like our spirit. God's Spirit in you sounds like you, and that's why we miss it a lot of the time.
Yep.
God's a humble God, and sometimes we miss it because His Spirit sounds like us. And we just think, that was just me. That was just a thought I had, or just a feeling I had. When really it was God's Spirit speaking to us. You know, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, you are one Spirit of the Lord. When you got born again, your Spirit and God's Spirit became one. So it's hard to know when your spirit ends and God's spirit start. In fact, inside of you, your spirit doesn't end and God's spirit starts. You're one spirit of the Lord. That's why it's hard. You know, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, as He is, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. Not in your flesh, not in your soul, but in your spirit, you are identical to Jesus because you are one spirit of the Lord. So when God speaks to you through His Spirit, it's hard sometimes to tell if it's you or if it's God, right? Sometimes you're like, is that just me thinking that? Or is it God thinking that? And it takes faith to believe the voice of God. Doesn't it?
Yep.
It's still a small voice. It takes faith to do
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. We've got a few questions. Are you ready for some questions?
No.
There you go.
Okay. We could do, just a few more points here. So it's a still small voice. Okay. It sounds like you because it's your spirit speaking to, you know, it's God's spirit and your spirit are one spirit. So we could often miss it because of that. It can be a hunch or a feeling. Sometimes you can just have a feeling or a hunch, can't you? Like is that God? Isn't that God? It can be a picture or an impression. Sometimes you have like a picture or an impression of something, a little bit like a vision. Sometimes you see something in your imagination and all of a sudden you just see it. Or sometimes it can be an unsettling. Sometimes you can have a check in your spirit, you know, and you're about to do something,
like
you're not sure
witness.
About it, like an inner witness. And like some people call it women's intuition or things like that, but it really is like a check in your spirit, like you don't have peace about it, you're not sure about it, there's definitely something not right there.
That's actually really huge, you know. It says that let peace be your umpire. In other words, be led by peace. And sometimes the decisions that I've made, I've just made them because I I felt like I didn't, even though it wasn't necessarily a clear, like, don't go there,
right.
It was like the peace of God left me, mm-hmm. or the desire left me yeah. when I thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like that inner witness. You know, we need to let the peace of God be our umpire. It means let the peace of God rule in our hearts and lead us and guide us.
That's right. And there's things we can do to actually test these things and actually make sure, you know, the first test would be the Word of God to know if it's true or not.
Yep.
But a lot of these things, we can't, it's not as specific as, you know, it's don't do it or do it. A lot of these things we're going to have to test in other ways. And there's some practical things we can do to test that. And so that's the still small voice. It's the most powerful way you can hear God, the Word of God and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit working together, you're going to be able to hear God's voice.
Yep.
Now, what I'm thinking is we're going to have to, next Power Academy, we're going to have a How to Hear God's Voice Part 2, because I want to talk about some practical things about how you can actually be sure it's God and not God, how you can actually tune yourself in to hear God
yep.
more clearly and stuff like that. So let's do a How to Hear the Voice of God Part 2, next Power Academy, which is in 2 weeks' time, next Power Academy Live in 2 weeks' time. But for now, hopefully that will help you. The ways God speaks to us, first of all, you as a born-again believer, you can hear God's voice. John 10:27.
Yep.
You need to start confessing that. In fact, for the next 2 weeks, I challenge you, confess you can hear God's voice.
And be expectant to hear.
Yes, right. Be expectant. I can hear God's voice.
Amen.
That's a great confession for you until the next Power Academy Live. Say, I can hear God's voice.
Amen.
And the ways God speaks to us, he speaks to us through his word. He can speak to us audibly. He can speak to us through people. He can speak to us through circumstances, through dreams and visions, through desire, the desires of our hearts, and by his spirit, spirit to spirit. And the most powerful way, really, I believe, is getting in his word so you've got that foundation, hearing his spirit, spirit to spirit, when he speaks to you in that still small voice, and then being led by your desires if you delight yourself in the Lord. And then the other things, like people speaking to you, giving you words, and dreams and visions and things like that, are just confirmations to those things. Amen.
Yeah.
So there's some things about hearing God's voice. Let's turn to some questions, and then Carly can teach her lessons. So what questions have we got? Hopefully they're not too difficult. Hopefully you were kind to me, viewers that are watching.
Val says, is there a place for dream interpretation?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think you can interpret dreams. It has to be by the Spirit of God. You know, Daniel interpreted dreams. Joseph in Genesis interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. He interpreted the butler and the baker's dreams. He interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. But Joseph said this. He said, it's not within me to interpret these dreams, Pharaoh. God will interpret these dreams. And it's very important to realize you can go down this line where people, you know, dream interpretation is like very soulish, or it's just humanistic.
And it's not a spiritual gift.
There's no spiritual gift. Of dream interpretation.
I think when people are interpreting dreams, they're operating in a spiritual gift of the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge.
Yep, or even discerning spirits,
prophecy.
Things like that. Yeah,
discerning
prophecy,
spirits, yep.
Things like that. But it's in God. God gives the interpretation. It's not in us to give the interpretation. So we have to rely on God. So as long as we're relying on God, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Don't go down the road of like, there's books on it and all that, and you work things out. That can
be humanistic. And, you know, there are things... there are patterns, there is a lot of symbolism. Mm-hmm. You know, when people have like prophetic dreams, mm-hmm. they're often abstract, you know, so not always, but they're often abstract, and the symbolism and the colors and different things are important. But you know, if we don't view those things through the word of God, we can get goofy very quickly. And, you know, I've come from a background of spiritualism and horoscopes and all those kinds of things, so I'm probably my radar's a little bit more sensitive maybe than somebody else. But, you know, the world has counterfeits for the real spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
And that can be a distraction. We need to use these... We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. Amen.
That's right.
And have the wisdom of God.
Rose on YouTube says, ICHGV. ICHGV. It's not quite as catchy as IGTP, but it means I can hear God's voice.
Oh, there you go.
I can hear God's voice. You can hear God's voice. Amen. You can hear God's voice.
Amen. Amen.
Mandy says, if it's a very detailed, vivid dream, how do I know if it's God or just my own hope? You know, there's ways you could do that. I'd say keep praying about it. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. In fact, in next Power Academy, we'll talk about ways, things we can do to actually tune ourselves in better to the Word of God. Things like praying in the Holy Ghost, things like reading the Word.
And don't get really hung up on something. If you hear something that you believe is God, but you don't have a full and clear understanding of what it is, then it might be actually that it's for a future event. It's a future time. It's not for right now. It's just a seed. It's some insight into something that's happening ahead of time. And that's why you don't have full understanding. So don't get really bent out of shape if you find that you're hearing something that you're not fully understanding. You can leave. You know what? What I do is in my imagination. This is what I do. I take that word after having prayed through it. If I still don't have clarity, I put it in my mind's eye. right?
Mind's eye. Not
in my imagination, not my third eye, my mind's eye. I put it in a little jam jar, screw the lid on, and I put it in the cellar of my mind. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, I know that you'll bring that back to me when I need it. And I know that you'll give me revelation when I need it. I'm just leaving that with you. I'm leaving it with you.
That's right.
And he'll lead you into all truth.
If it's of God, if it's not of God, it won't come back.
And if it's not, take it away.
Thank you for joining us for this Power Academy podcast. Be sure to join our e-learning platform where you'll have access to lessons, detailed notes, and quizzes that empower you to switch on your faith. Enroll for free at learn.terradezministries.com.